The Gemara learns out from the pasuk that there's a mitzvah min haTorah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a big debate in the Rishonim, in the commentaries on the Gemara, what the nature of the mitzvah is. Some say the nature of the mitzvah is to prepare for the fast. So that it only makes sense to say that there's a mitzvah to eat in the daytime.
Louder, people can't hear.
I'll try. So some are of the opinion that it only makes sense to say that you're eating in preparation of the fast if you're eating in the daytime of Erev Yom Kippur. But to eat the night before Erev Yom Kippur, that's not going to help you for the fast. And other Rishonim, other commentaries on Gemara say, no, that the mitzvah to eat, it's like a yontif. You have to eat balayla. The night before Erev Yom Kippur, you have to eat in the daytime as well. It's a mitzvah, because Yom Kippur is a yontif. We really should have a suda on Yom Kippur, but it's a fast day. So we yotze the meal by eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's balayla bayom, the night before, and the daytime as well. And the Vilna Gaon, thank you. Vilna Gaon in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch thinks that this is what the two minhagim depend on, whether you say by the Ekkes, they say long slichas on Erev Yom Kippur, 2 hours of slichas like Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the rest of the world says very brief slichas, only 15 minutes. So he assumes that this is the machloikas, that the slichas are supposed to be recited by Laila, supposed to be finished with reciting all the slichas by Elos HaShachar. Here in a lot of places, they don't start saying slichas in the morning till after Hanetzach Hama, till after the sunrise. But you're really supposed to be finished with reciting all the slichas in the middle of the night. So if we should assume that even the night before is also a yontif, so since it's a yontif, we should say very brief slichas. And if you assume that the night before is not a yontif, it's just that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur in preparation for the tannis, so then... the night before is not a yontif, so since you're getting closer to Yom Kippur, it would make sense to recite longer slichas. The Gemara tells us in the end of Tainus that Yom Kippur in Chamishasa Ba'av were the two jolliest days in the calendar. In the days of the Tanaim, the girls used to dance and the boys would make shiduchim on Yom Kippur. It's hard to imagine. By us, we daven the shul all day long. Where is there time to make shiduchim? But in the days of the Tanaim, obviously, they didn't daven all day long. He said, make shiduchim. Tosis, in fact, has one suggestion that that's why we learn Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha and Yom Kippur in the afternoon. We read that section in Achrei Mos that lists off the prohibited marriages, because they're going to make shiduchim. So you have to know that you can't just marry any girl that you choose. Some of the relatives are forbidden. You're not allowed to marry some of them. So the Gemara tells us, why was Yom Kippur such a jolly day? Because Yom Shiditnum Bo Torah. That's when the Lucha Shnius, Moshe Rabbeinu, came down from Har Sinai with the second set of Avaluchas. So we really have 2 days in the year when we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. We celebrate on Shavuos, Zman Matan Torasein, and we celebrate on Yom Kippur. So the Mefarshim ask, why do you really need 2 days to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah? So several of the Gedolim, Rav Shlomo Levilna and the Beis Halevi and others, have the suggestion that the original plan was on Shavuos that everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav. There wasn't going to be any Torah Shebal Peh. Then after they sinned with the Chet HaEgel, then the plan had to change. That's how the Midrashim say, because the Rabban Shalom said, Echtav la'rubay tarose halokam azar nechshavu. It's a pasuk in Navi. If I'll have everything, will be Torah Shebichsav. And after the Chet HaEgel, the Rabban Shalom decided to punish Bnei Yisrael. He will allow Umas Olam to have Shlita over us. So they're going to have Shlita over us. They'll grab hold of our Sefer Torah, and they'll claim that they are the Am Hanif. That's what the Christians did, the Catholics did for many generations. They still claim. They say that the Jews lost us because we rejected Oso Hish. We didn't accept the Yoshke. So we lost our status as the Am HaNivchar. And they are considered now the Am HaNivchar because they did accept them. In fact, that was the Catholic response for many, many years. That was the official Catholic response to the Zionist movement. All over the world, in all the newspapers, all the Catholic newspapers, they wrote their position in English and in French and in Spanish and in Italian, all the countries in the world. They said when the Zionist movement began, so their position was, it's never going to happen. Eretz Yisrael will never be given over to the Jews because Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNivcheres and it only belongs to the Am HaNivcher, and the Jews lost their status as the Am HaNivcher because they rejected Oso Hoish. And then when they established the Medina, this posed a big problem. So they didn't recognize the Medina for many, many years. They didn't recognize the Medina. They're hoping and praying to their Abba Zohar that the Medina would disappear. It didn't disappear, so they had to give a teretz. So the official teretz was that the Jews have the modern Israel, but they don't have the old Eretz Yisrael. They don't have Hebron, where Avraham Avinu lived. They don't have the Eir Atika. So then after Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim, that Eretz was up. So what did the Pope say the day after Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim was up? We should internationalize Yerushalayim. Why should we internationalize Yerushalayim? Because it's a kasha against their gloyim. It's a kasha against their animam. If Yerushalayim is Jewish hands, that means that the Jews are the Aman Yifcha. And every year, the Pope always says the same thing. All the Popes since then, since Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim, they all say you have to internationalize Yerushalayim in order to fire them for their religion. That's why. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's in order that their religion should not be remaining with the Pircha. So the Midrashim tell us, if the Rebbeinu Shalom would have given, everything would have been Torah Shebichsav, just like the Umas Olam have a shlita on the Tanakh, and they claim that they're the Aman Yifcha, so they have a shlita over everything. So the Jews will have nothing that'll indicate that we have any uniqueness. So after the Chet Egel, the Rebbeinu Shalom decided he's going to have to give two parts. It's going to be Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, that'll only be for the Jewish people. The Umas Olam won't be able to have any shlita over that. Unfortunately now, The Vatican orders, I think, 20 copies of every art scroll Gemara whenever it comes out. So they have shlita over the Torah Shebal Peh also. But that's how the Midrashim say, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, after the Chet Egel, he decided he's going to be punishing the Jewish people, and the Umas Olam will be able to have shlita over the Bnei Yisrael, have shlita, they'll be able to claim that they're the Aman Yifchar. So he changed the plan. From now on, there's going to have to be Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, two different parts. So that's what several of the Gedolim say. Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over from the Beis Halevi, that the two Yamim Tovim, when we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah, Shavuos is Man Matan Torasenu, receiving of the Torah Shebichsav, and Yom Kippurim is the receiving of the Torah Shebal Peh. Rav Soloveitchik used to add, if you look in the Chumash, the Avodas Yom Kippurim in the beginning of Parshas Achimos is written out of order. The Gemara says we don't do it the way it's described in Chumash. In Chumash, it's described as if it's done in three units. Big Dezov, Big Delov, and Big Dezov. And we have a tradition. The Torah Shabbat Peh says you don't do it like that. You do five units. Big Dezov, Big Delov, and Big Dezov, Big Delov, and Big Dezov. So how come the Chumash has it? Rashi and Chumash quotes the Loshon from the Gemara. The whole Pesukim of Chumash is in order. Chutz min ha-mikra hazeh is out of order. How come the Chumash wrote it out of order? So Rav Soloveitchik said, because Yom Kippur is the yontif of the Torah Shabbat Peh, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Davka wrote it out of order, in order that you should know. If you follow Torah Shebichsav, you won't be yotzei. You'll be doing it wrong. Maybe you will be yotzei, but you'll be doing it wrong. More correct is you have to follow the Torah Shebal Peh. In fact, there are those historians who claim it's a puzzle, it's a riddle. We don't know exactly why we recite Kol Nidre to bring in Yom Kippur. What does our Torah's Dharma have to do with Yom Kippur? So there are those professors of history from 100 years ago, German professors, who made a suggestion that Kol Nidre is HaTorah Nedarim, we're Matan Nedarim that we took in the past year. And the Mishnah says in the end of the first paragraph, Chagiga, Behet Nedarim Parchem Boavir. It's orally transmitted from generation to generation, this tradition that there's such a thing as HaTorah Nedarim, Ve'elam HaMeshi Yismochu. There's no pasuk in Chumash that you can derive it from. Not only is it not written in the Chumash, usually you have a drasha, you can read it between the lines. So the Mishnah claims, maybe the Rabbi Tanoim, the Gemara says, but the Mishnah says, there's no way to derive HaTorah Nedarim from the Pesukim in Chumash. It's purely Parchem Bavir, it's orally transmitted from generation to generation. So that's why the Karoim never believed in HaTorah Nedarim. And that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that when we do HaTorah Nedarim, we say three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Why do you say three times? Because whenever the Karoim, whenever the Tzedukim don't believe in it, so we emphasize it that we do subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. The Mishnah describes on the Yistakot the Omer on Erev, on Chalamoid Pesach, the Yistaduk Tziras Omer. So the Tzedukim in the days of the second Beis Hamikdash felt that you always bring the Minchas Omer, Mimachas HaShabbos on a Sunday, and Shavuos is always an extended weekend, Shavuos is always on a Sunday. And the Chachamim said, it's not right. Mimachas HaShabbos doesn't mean Sunday. It means first day Chalamoid Pesach. So whenever they did Ketzirah Soimer, and it was not on a Sunday, if it's on a Metzoy Shabbos, they didn't make a big hullabaloo about it. But if it was six out of seven times, it was not there 7 days in the week. So six out of seven times, it was not on a Metzoy Shabbos. So then they would make a big hullabaloo. and they would say everything three times. The Mishnah says, "Should I cut the yomer?" He would say, "Yeah, cut the yomer. Should I? Are you sure I should cut the yomer? I should use this sickle. I should put it in this bag." Everything they would say three times for emphasis, to emphasize because the tzedukim didn't believe in it. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that since the Mechaber writes that, that since Hataras and Darim, the Karaim never believed in it, so when we do Hataras and Darim, we say it three times. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, the meaning is that you say, we do Hataras and Darim. So it says in the city, the Bezin should say three times that paragraph. That's a mistake to say three times, because the paragraph already says three times. It says in the first line, Hakol Mechul Mecha, Hakol Shuim Lecha, Hakol Matarim Lecha. So you already said it three times that it's mutar. You're going to say that paragraph three times, said it nine times. You don't need so much emphasis. It's enough if some of the contemporary Talmid HaChachamim say, it's enough if the Bezin says that paragraph once on Erev Rosh Hashanah. The paragraph already contains three times this statement. So that those who claim that in Alexandria, centuries ago, they used to have a parade on Yom Kippur, those who followed the Rabbanim, those who followed the Torah Shabbat, used to have a parade like Lubavitch has a parade on Lag Baomer, which is supposed to be the birthday or the yahrzeit, whatever, Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, supposedly the author of the Zohar. So they have a parade to support the study of the Zohar. So in Alexandria, centuries ago, they used to have a parade, and the parade was to support the Torah Shabbat Peh. So there are those historians who claim that we begin Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. We do believe in HaTorah Snedur. Even though the Karaites didn't, we do believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So we have 2 days on which we celebrate Kabbalah Sator Shavuos and Yom Kippur. And the Pasuk describes Liman HaTorah Dvash V'chol of Tachas L'Sheinach. The Torah is compared to honey because it's so sweet. If a person understands what he's learning, it's very sweet, very pleasant. And it's compared to milk, which is very healthy, very nourishing. So the minig used to be, years ago, that they used to have milchiks. Everybody has milchiks on Shavuos because of Cholov. And they used to have honey cake on Erev Yom Kippur. You can't eat on Yom Kippur. They used to have honey cake on Erev Yom Kippur. That's the Dvash V'cholov Tachas L'Sheinach. And in many shtiblach, many Polish shtiblach, the minig used to be that the honey cake that they gave everybody after Shachris on Erev Yom Kippur used to be purchased from the money from the pushke, from the stock of money, in case it was nigzar on a person that he should suffer, that he should be misparnas minat stokke, he should be yotze with that. That he eats the honey cake that was purchased from the pushke from the tzedakah. We should be yotze with that. Like some of the Rishonim say, why do you sit in the sukkah right after Yom Kippur? In case of his nigzah that we have to go into Golus, we should be yotze with that. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't have to punish us with a serious Golus enough. If we go into Golus, we eat in the sukkah outside our house. That's also a Golus. So we should be yotze the punishment by sitting in the sukkah. Anyway, the Gemara tells us there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara said there was one of the Rabbanim, one of the Amoraim, who used to fast all year long. And some of the Rishonim learned he fasted on Shabbos and Yom Tov also all year long, except for 3 days, Erev Yom Kippur and Shavuos, because these are the 2 days when you celebrate Kabbalah Sator, and Purim, because Purim is also Kimel Kiblu, it was the second Kabbalah Sator. So the 3 days in the year that represent the Yom Tovim of Kabbalah Sator, this Amora would not fast. On Erev Yom Kippur, the meaning is that the practice is that you daven mincha before the Suda HaMapsekas, and we recite Vidui at the conclusion of mincha. You always have to have when you come to shul, there's always a second minyan for mincha, for those who came from work. In many shuls, maybe in the shtibuch they don't have, everybody goes to shul early. But in many shuls, many of the modern shuls, there's a minyan for mincha right before Kol Nidre for those people who didn't have a chance to daven mincha before the Suda HaMapsekas. But that was a Takanas Chachamim. He's supposed to recite Vidui before the Suda HaMapsekas. What is that all about? So the Ramban is quoted in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. Ramban says that we have a pasuk in Chumash Lifnei Hashem Titoru, and he interprets that mean we should purify ourselves Titoru. We should purify ourselves by reciting Vidui Lifnei Hashem prior to entering into Yom Kippur. So the mitzvah really is to recite. This is how he interprets the passage in the Gemara, the end of Yuma. The mitzvah of Menator really is to recite Vidui as Yom Kippur is about to enter. So this would be fine if everybody would eat the Suda HaMapsekas and then come to shul on time, so there's enough time to say Vidui. Something can always come up in the middle of the meal the wife wants you to take the garbage down, or we should wash the dishes, or we should do this, or put this away in the other, in the freezer, in the refrigerator. Something can always come up. So some people are going to come to shul late. So they're going to, and they'll come, they'll just make it by the skin of their teeth, and they'll miss the opportunity to recite Vida before the entering of Yom Kippur. So the Chacham made a takana. Everybody should recite Vidu Yom Mincha, at the end of Mincha, before you eat the Surah HaMasechet. But more correct is, that's based on the Rambam, more correct is that you should come to Shul after the Surah HaMasechet, and then repeat the Vidu again. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father was a rabbi, functioned as a rabbi in Europe, and his father had a practice that the whole Kehillah said, Hashem Debagadno, Al-Chet Shechotan, the whole Nusach, as we recite in Mincha. Before the Surah HaMasechet, said it again, other people have the minhag, they recite the Tefillah Zaka, the Vidui of the Chayei Adam, that's printed in many machzor. It's interesting. On Erev Yom Kippur, everybody agrees that there's a special mitzvah of Tosefes, to be Mosif Mechol Al HaKodesh, before and after Yom Kippur. The Rambam only quotes Tosefes, L'Hosif Mechol Al HaKodesh, with respect to Yom Kippur, never quotes it by Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the different opinions in Achronim, what the Rambam thinks about Shabbos and Yom Tov. Some say he didn't say you're obligated, but Midrabbanon, you're obligated to make Tosefes. Others disagree. He never said that. You're not obligated even Midrabbanon, but if you add on, it's Chal Min HaTorah. Others disagree. It's not Chal Min HaTorah. It's Chal Midrabbanon. Others say it's not Chal Midrabbanon. It's nothing. The Rambam denies Tosefes. Only has Tosefes on Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch quotes that more proper, more correct practices, one should be Moshe Michol Al HaKodesh every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, because that Rambam is problematic. The simple reading of the Gemara is that there's a din of Tosefes for every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. So how much does many women will bench licht on Erev Shabbos 18 minutes before the Shkia, but on Erev Yom Tov they won't bench licht, they'll wait till Leil Yom Tov. So many of the poskim say that that's not right. Absolut Vejig used to say it's not right. More correct is you should bench licht on Erev Yom Tov also in advance to be Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh. You should really observe Kibud and Oneg, and Kibud is Hachan is done in advance of Yom Tov. So the Rambam writes that Hadlokas on Erev is both Kibud and Oneg. Oneg is that on Yom Tov the house is lit up, and Kibud is that I prepared in advance. Not only on Erev Shabbos, because you're not allowed to light candles on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, you're permitted to light candles, so you can light the candles on Leil Yom Tov when the husband comes home from shul. No, you should fulfill Hadlokas HaNer. It should be Kibud Yom Tov, to prepare in advance on Erev Yom Tov. When do you light the candles? So Rav Soloveitchik said, many poskim write like this, the Mate Ephraim. Everybody follows the Mishnah Berurah, and every page quotes the Mate Ephraim in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Mate Ephraim says, you should always bench lift 30 minutes before the Shki. Every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, every Yom Kippur, you should always bench lift 30 minutes before. Rav Soloveitchik said, where he came from, the practice was that the women would bench lech 30 minutes before the Shkia, because Shkia is already Bein HaShmosha, so that's not called Tosefes, so 30 minutes before the Shkia. And on Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench lech 60 minutes before, an hour before the Shkia. So as a child, they said, yes, Manishtana, why is Yom Kippur different? So he said the official answer, which he didn't understand, he said the official answer was 30 minutes Tosefes for Issa Malacha, and 30 minutes Tosefes for the Inuyim, for fasting and not wearing shoes and so on. He didn't understand what that means. It's one Kedusha Sayayim that obligates us to observe Yisim Malocha and the Inuyim as well. But we have to make sure that on Yom Kippur, for sure, you should really have Tosefes Yom Kippurim. Well, my father is a Chanuvach. My father was a Bocher in the Yeshiva. He learned in YO. So they didn't have a Beis Yitzchak then. They had a different publication. It was called Heidenu. So my father wrote a Dvar Torah about Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So he was always very machmer, because that was his shtickle Torah on a difficult Rambam. So he used to be very machmer Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So my father died at the age of 94. So when he was 92, I remember once he didn't go to shul, he davened at home. It was too difficult to go to shul on Yom Kippur, so he davened at home. He lived in Borough Park, so he would only be able to go to shul if he would go by a wheelchair. So he didn't know whether he should get a goy to push him in the wheelchair or get a munkacha, because the munkacha hold from the Erev. He didn't want to make machlokes. So he decided he's going to stay home. He's not going to get a goy, he's not going to get a munkacha. He doesn't want to get involved in the machlokes, so he daven at home. So we, in the yeshiva, they daven late, and then they danced before Meirev till they finished dancing, till we walked home. They said Kiddush Levana, and then we walked home. Then we had a meal and we benched. Then I called my father to ask him how the fast went. My father said, "You ate already?" It's like 2.5 hours after Tosefes Yom Kippur. He holds Tosefes Yom Kippur. Okay. That's because he wrote a Shtikl Torah on Tosefes Yom Kippur. So he was always very makpid. Because the Rambam only holds from Tosefes Yom Kippur. We should really be Moisev Mechoil Al HaKodesh on every Shabbos, every Yom Tov. It's interesting, that pasuk that the Ramban understood, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, he thinks that the Tanaim understood that to mean we should cleanse ourselves by reciting Vidui as Yom Kippur is about to enter, right before Yom Kippur enters. So the Rav Sadia Gaon seems to have understood that pasuk also a little bit like the Ramban. Lefnei Hashem Titoru means you have to go to Mikveh and erev Yom Kippur. That's what the Rosh in the end of Yom Kippur, Rav Sadia Gaon, everybody, men and women, everybody has to go to Mikveh and erev Yom Kippur, and you say a bracha, shekadishan, b'mitzosu v'tzivonu ala tvila. So the Rosh says, what in the world is this all about? Never heard of this. What kind of business is this? So the later Mefarshim say, the Rosh understood that the Rav Sadia Gaon meant that chayvadam latar atzma beregel. Everyone has to go to mikveh before regel. So that's only shoulders for golem. Pesel Shavuot Sukkot, that's bizmancha, beis hamikdash, hayakayam. Everybody has to walk into the azara, so you have to be tohar. And even the women who don't have an obligation to walk into the azara, says Yeroa kol zuchuch, only the men have to do riasponim. Have to visit the Azara. Even the women don't have to have riasponim by Azara, but they have to participate in eating korbanos. They have to go to mikvah and erev Yom Tov to be able to eat the Besar HaKorbanos. So that's only on Shalosh Shigolim. What has got to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Rosh thought that the Rav Sadia Gaon has this big chiddush that even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even Bizman Hazeh, that there's no Beis HaMikdash, Chayav Adam Atar Atzma Beregel. So the later Mefarshim say, no, the Rav Sadia Gaon must have understood the pasuk. Lefnei Hashem Titor. Titor means you should purify yourselves by going to mikveh. It doesn't mean you should cleanse yourself by reciting Vidu. You should purify yourselves. Go to the mikveh and erev Yom Kippur. In a certain sense, it's a little bit along the lines of that Ramban, Lefnei Hashem, before Yom Kippur enters, but Titor in the sense of going to mikveh. Many have the practice that in erev Yom Kippur, all year long, they don't give their children a bracha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And erev Yom Kippur, everybody gives the Birchas Habonim. A lot of Machzorim have the Birchas Habonim printed. So the later Achranim point out that Tziv has this, and others have, based on a passage in the Zohar, that before one is about to give the bracha to the children, should really recite a bracha to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You should give up Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen Yamein. You should say some pasuk from the Siddur, some pasuk from Tanakh. Baruch David Es Hashem Le'ne Kol Yom David. Say some kind of a pasuk that offers a bracha to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Derech Eretz dictates that before you give a bracha to a bas of Adam, you should really say a bracha to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Mishnah tells us, and there's a perek in the middle of Pesachim that's called Perek Malkim Shenohagu. So it talks about different minhagim, private minhagim, family minhagim, community minhagim, minhagim of Klal Yisrael, a minhag ha-pashut, the common minhag. So the Mishnah says that there were different minhagim regarding hadlakas haneros on erev Yom Kippur. So the commentaries explain the mitzvah of hadlakas haneros on erev Shabbos, erev Yom Tov was never instituted with respect to Yom Kippur. The main reason for instituting the takana of hadlakas haneros is because you're going to eat a meal, and you won't enjoy the meal if it's going to be dark in the house. But on Yom Kippur, everybody's fasting, so they never require that you should light candles. So the Gemara says, but one of the prohibitions on Yom Kippur is that married people are not allowed to be together. So the married people, some had a minig bedavke yes to be madlik neres on erev Yom Kippur, some had a minig davke not to. Some had a minig davke not to be madlik neres, so the husband won't see how good looking his wife is, so he won't have a desire to be with her. So he'll observe the din of the chamish inuim. And others had the minig bedavke yes to light candles in the bedroom, so they're not permitted to be together because ora ner. So the Gemara says that the minig is only for married people, single people it doesn't apply. And because it depends on a minig, so there's a big machlekes whether one recites a bracha or not. Chatzi halal that we recite on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara tells us is only a minhag. Whenever halal is obligatory, then you say the ganz halal. You only say chatzi halal when it's a minig. So the many svardim do not recite a bracha shekirishana b'mitzoyis v'tzivan u'bikros ha'halel on Rosh Chodesh because it's not kirishana b'mitzoyis v'tzivan. It's not even a mitzvah v'derabon. It's only a minig. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the same over here that when you light the candles by us, it's so obvious. We say the bench licht. The bench licht means he's saying a bracha. So Tosfos in the beginning of Be'madlikin on the first Mishnah has two opinions. Do you recite a bracha on Erev Shabbos when you light the candle? Do you really bench licht? Do you just madlik the neiris? So Taisus has one opinion, a popular opinion. No, you don't say a bracha when you put up the cholent. You don't say a bracha when you vacuum the rug. You don't say a bracha when you take a shower. You do some of the other hachanas for Shabbos. You set the table. Why do you say a bracha only when you madlik the neris? One opinion of Taisus is that you don't say a bracha on hadlokas on neris. The commonly accepted practice is that we do say a bracha. Some say bracha on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Not a different reason why. The common practice is you say bracha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But on Erev Yom Kippur, that's a big debate. So the Sfardim, many Sfardim do not say a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur when they're madlik the neris. And the Ashkenazim, the common practice is that we do recite the bracha even when one observes something that's only a minig. Many of the women have the practice that when they're madlik the neris on Erev Yom Tov, they say shechiyonim. So the Gemara says that, strictly speaking, the husband can also say Shachyana when he's walking in the street. Shachyana, I'm Rafael Bashuk, even when you're walking in the street. But we don't do that. We save the Shachyana till the end of the Kiddush, so we enhance the significance of the bracha, the chashivas of the bracha, that we say Shachyana over a cup of wine. That's considered more chashiv. Some brachas, it makes sense. Other brachas, it doesn't. Let's think, say Shlos Ani Goy over a cup of wine. Shlos Ani Ovid. Some brachas, it does make sense. Other brachas, it does make sense. So the Gemara says the bracha of Shachyanu is enhanced. You enhance the chashivas of the bracha if you recite it ala kai. So why should the women say Shachyanu whether they're madlik the neris? So that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the comment in his notes on the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbi Yankif Emden, who was before him, that it's not really right that the women really shouldn't say Shachyanu whether they're madlik the neris on Erev Yantar, because more correct is to save the Shachyanu till you're reciting Kiddush. All right, some of the women listen to Rabbi Yankif Emden, others don't. You have to find out what Mrs. Emden did. I don't know if she listened to her husband either. But my wife did listen to me. Other women don't want to give up the Shachyon. You do it, I'm going to do what I do. My brother said Shachyon, I'm going to say Shachyon. Okay. But on Erev Yom Kippur, the husband is not going to say Shachyon over a cup of wine anyway. So there's nothing wrong if the women say the Shachyon. We're going to say Shachyon, and not in connection with a cup of wine. So the women can say Shachyon when they light the candles, but they should keep in mind, the Gemara says beferish, all year long if a woman benches licht on Erev Shabbos, she has in mind to do a malacha afterwards, so we say lechatchila, you really shouldn't do any malacha after your madlik the neris on Erev Shabbos, but if it's a big shas hadchak and you have in mind that you're not mekamel Shabbos, then it's permissible to do malacha. But the Gemara says explicitly about Erev Yom Kippur, if he said Shechyanu, you can only say Shechyanu on Yom Kippur. So if he said Shechyanu, obviously you accept it as Yom Kippur. If you didn't accept it yet, then you can't say Shechyanu. Then the Shechyanu is a bracha levatolik. Shechyanu can only be recited on Yom Kippur. So if the woman wants to bench licht Erev Yom Kippur, say Shechyanu, she can't drive in the car afterwards. If she plans to drive to shul, then she should save her Shechyanu until she gets to shul, when everybody else is going to say Shechyanu. We have to call Nidre. And sure, everybody says Shechyanu. We mentioned we have the minig that we recite Kol Nidre. There are two texts of what Kol Nidre is all about. The old girsa used to be that it's a Hataras Nedarim, a Matan Nedarim that we took in the course of the past year. Yom Kippurim Sho'avad, Yom Kippurim Hazeh. It's a Hataras Nedarim. And because it's a Hataras Nedarim, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch said the minig is that you say three times, because the Karaites never believed in Hataras Nedarim. So we want to emphasize, we subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. Then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should try to complete the first Kol Nidre before the sun sets, before Yom Kippur, before Bein Hashmashes, because you're not permitted to do Hataras Nedarim on Shabbos and Yom Tov unless the Het and Nedarim is relevant to Shabbos. Let's say a person took a neder not to eat potatoes. Okay, he has to go on a diet, and potatoes are fattening. So then he finds out on Shabbos that all his wife cooked for Shabbos is potatoes. If he's going to observe his neder, he'll have nothing to eat. So he wants to be matan neder l'tzarech haShabbos, to have what to eat. So that's permissible. But stam he took nedarim, all kinds of nedarim that are not relevant to Shabbos and Yom Tov, then you're not permitted to be matan nedarim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that the old minig, the old nusach, used to be called Nidre Bumatu Den Dharma that we took in the course of the past year, from last Yom Kippur to this Yom Kippur. So you should completely say three times, like Hataras and Dharm. And the first Kol Nidre should be completed before the sun sets. But then there are Benatam, and there are Benatam. Benatam was a grandson of Rashi. His father was a son-in-law of Rashi, Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinatam and Rashbam were brothers. Rashbam was the older brother. He learned with Rashi. He always follows Rashi. Rabbeinatam was much younger. He doesn't always follow Rashi. He always takes a liberty of disagreeing with Rashi. So the Rabbeinu Tam with his father, Rabbeinu Meir, they changed the text. They said the whole idea of reciting Kol Nidre appears in the Gemara in the middle of the Nedarim, Adav Chavbeis, and it's not the HaTorah and Nedarim of over the Nedarim taken in the course of the past year. It's rather Mesiris Meido. We're making a declaration at the Nedarim that we plan to take in the course of the coming year, Yom Kippur Mzad, Yom Kippur Mahalok, Baalein, Latoivo, till next Yom Kippur, should all be null and void. Any nether, if you make a declaration in advance that any nether I plan to take in the course of the year should be null and void, so sometimes this declaration helps. We don't rely on that because there are different opinions in the Rishon when it helps. Does it only help if you forgot about your declaration at the time you took the nether? It only helps if you remember the declaration. So the opposite opinions, so we don't rely on this Kol Nidre. But the Rabbi Natan changed the girsa, and he said that it's really a declaration for the Nedarim that we will take in the course of the next year. So the Chayyadim recommends that you should really say the both texts. You should say from the last Yom Kippur to the last Yom Kippur, it's a Hataras Nedarim. That's why we say three times, and that's why the first time we say it before the Shkia. And then in the same paragraph you say, and when Moshe Maidor, regarding all the Nedarim that we will take in the course of the following year, that they shouldn't be binding. Why do we recite Kol Nidre and Erev Yom Kippur? What's the connection? So I mentioned this professor from Germany from 100 years ago thought that it's the Yontav HaTorah Sheba'al Peh, and it was instituted at the time that they had this annual parade on Yom Kippur in support of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Others give other reasons. In Nusach Sfarad Sidurim, in the Chassidus of Sidurim, so they quote, they print a passage from the Zohar that compares Tshuva to HaTorah Nedarim. Just like when you mata neder, so the bezin has the ability to undo the neder meikor. It comes out the neder was never binding. It's not that from now on it's not binding. It comes out the neder was a neder betosim, and it was never valid. The neder was never binding. So too, if a person does tshuva, so the Gemara says tshuva has the ability to undo the avera oiked avera meikor. If a person does tshuva meyira, so the averas would be considered, even though he did it b'mezid, the averas would be considered zdonas tassim lo kishkogas, as if he violated the aver b'shege. And if he does tshuva me'ava, a higher level of tshuva, a more sincere tshuva, the averas that were done b'mezid are considered as if there was a chuyas, because he's always going to have such a guilty feeling why he did these averas, and the guilty feeling will always spur him on to do more mitzvahs and to be more careful about not doing averas. So that's what the Mesillas Yesharim quotes that also in his Sefer Mesillas Yesharim. So he quotes that passage from the Zohar that HaTorah Nedarim sheds light on the nature of tshuva. That tshuva can also undo the averus meikor. Now, Soloveitchik had a different, an original suggestion that he thought that Yom Kippur, the uniqueness of Yom Kippur is that the Shechina is with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shori Beinenu. That's why when Yom Kippur comes to an end, so we recite Hashem Hu Elokim seven times, because the Gemara explains based on Pesukim and Tanakh that there are seven heavens, like the English expression, the fellow is so happy he's in seventh heaven. And the Gemara has different names for each one of the heavens. So when Yom Kippur comes to an end, the Shekhinah goes back to the first heaven, to the second heaven, to the third heaven, to the seventh heaven. So we say Hashem Hu Elokim to Bagalei the Shekhinah. It's going back to the heavens. That's one of the explanations why we blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, because it said in Maim HaSinai that no one was allowed to go in HaSinai as long as the Shekhinah was there, but as soon as they hear the blast of the shofar, then Hema Yala Bahar, then they're allowed to go on HaSinai. The Tkiyah shofar is a sim of the Siluk Shekhinah. So that's one of the explanations. It's a very old minhag to blow shofar on Motzei Yom Kippur, but the Rishonim already forgot what the reason is. So that's one of the explanations, that we blow shofar as a sim of the Siluk Shekhinah. Rav Soloveitchik said, if you want to be mekabel Yom Kippur early, how can you get the Shechina to come down early? So he said, "Kenvina bezin." The Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Elokim nitzav adaskel." The pasuk that we say in the Shir Shal Yom for Tuesday, I think. Whenever there's a bezin, so if it's an honest bezin, not the bezin that's not taking shaychad, it's an honest bezin. The Shechina promises that it'll be there to help them pass them properly. They shouldn't make a mistake. So what kind of a din Torah are you going to start? Din Torah have two balabatim killing each other, fighting whether he owes them money, how much money. So you make an easygoing din Torah about Nedarim. So you convene a bezin for HaTorah and Nedarim. You force the Shekhinah to come down. The Shekhinah is down. So that's how we begin Yom Kippur. We brought the Shekhinah down to begin HaShuas HaShekhinah LeKavod Yom Kippur.
Are we allowed to ask any questions?
Bakasha?
If we connect the Hataras Nedarim that we say Erev Rosh Hashanah to negate the Karaim, then shouldn't we say the Hataras Nedarim Erev Yom Kippur rather than Erev Rosh Hashanah, because the Kabbalah Satara was on Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah? So why is the minhag to say it before Rosh Hashanah?
I don't know. Good question. Why do you do it twice? Why do you do both Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Rosh Hashanah? That's a good question. I don't know. On Yom Kippurim, we duchen. Everybody duchens on Yom Kippur. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Maharil, who writes that the minig used to be in Frankfurt only, the rest of Europe, they didn't duchen by Ne'ilah, because the Chazan got to Ne'ilah in the middle of the night, so there's no duchening Balayla. That's the Yerushalmi in the end of time, it says, you don't duchen Balayla. And the Maharil writes only in Frankfurt, still in Breuers. They have all the minhagim in Frankfurt. They still duchen by Nila, even though it's in the middle of the night. So the other Mefarshim say, no, there's no duchening balayla because there's no Chazaras Hashatz by Ma'ariv. That's why there's no duchening. But if you have a Chazaras Hashatz for Nila in the middle of the night, then you can duchen balayla. So that's an ongoing debate, whether it makes sense to duchen by Nila when they have it in the middle of the night. The word duchen means a platform. The more correct is that the Kohanim are supposed to stand on a platform when they're duchen. Here there's no platform. Okay, that's not our problem. More correct is he's supposed to have a platform where the Kohanim stand. If you look in front of the Kosel HaMaravi on a day when they duchen, when they duchen every day there. So sometimes they have milk crates there that the Kohanim stand on to be able to have a duchen. That's L'chatchil, he's supposed to stand on a platform. It's not Miyaka B'Yevid. Some of the Sfardish Achrenim write that standing on the platform is Li'kuva. That a Kohen is not standing on a platform cannot recite the Birchas Kohanim. I remember many years ago we spent a summer in Eretz Yisrael, so we rented an apartment in Beit Vegan near the Yeshiva called Torah. So remember on Shabbos morning they had a platform in front of the Aron Kodesh for the Kohanim to go up to Duchen. So I noticed first they let all the Sfardim go up, because the only poskim say that it's Makad B'Yevid, a sum of the Sfardish poskim. Then there was a little room left, so two or three Ashkenazim also walked up. Because L'chatchil, everyone agrees that you should stand on top of the platform. So that's L'chatchil, that's more correct. The Gemara learns that from the pasuk, the duchening, the brocha is only chalif, the kohen is facing the tzibur, they have to be facing each other, ponim keneged ponim. A lot of people are so concerned, they're so worried about looking at the Kohanim's hands. The Gemara says it's improper to look at the Kohen's hands. So they turn away. They turn away from the Kohanim. So the Gemara says you shouldn't turn away. You have to be facing the Kohanim. And if the people are standing on the side, so the Mishnah Berurah says they should turn around. They shouldn't be facing the Mizrachvan. If they're standing on the side, they should face the Kohanim. It should be Panim, Keneged Panim. In the days of the Gemara, the practice used to be that they used to recite psukim that we have printed in the Siddur. And the Kohanim said, Yibarechecha, so they said one pasuk, Hashem, they said another pasuk. Then the Gemara says, but how can you recite the psukim? You have to pay attention. It's not the Acharis. You have to pay attention to the Kohanim. They're giving you a bracha. So the Gemara says, we're geniuses and we can recite a pasuk and pay attention at the same time. So the Torah writes that there's a Yiridus Hadoris, and we're not geniuses anymore, and we can't concentrate. If you're going to say psukim, you can't concentrate. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, you shouldn't say the psukim. You have to pay attention to the Kohanim saying, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha. The maximum they say is, if you want to look at the pasuk and the Siddur, as the Kohanim are saying the psukim, as they're kind of saying the words, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, you can look at the psukim, but you really shouldn't recite it, because we won't be able to concentrate. Years ago, I used to daven shachris and broyers. Now I always daven in yeshiva, shachris, mincha, meir, Shabbos, and yontav, and everything. So Rabbi Schwab, Zechon Lebrach, he used to learn kitzu shulchan aruch always after shachris. For 2 minutes, he would learn a sif in shulchan aruch, and so a novel would say another kaddish derabbanan. So before yontav, he would always go through the dinim of duchening, so he would always say that when the chasen says kohanim, and everybody screams out, am kereshecha kamur, absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. What am kereshecha kamur? It says, the Rebbeinu Shalom should bless us with the bracha that Kohanim used to say, Am Kodeshecha, as it says in the Chumash, they said, but the phrase, Am Kodeshecha Kamo, doesn't make any sense. So all the poskim say like that. You should tell the people that you shouldn't say that, but no one listened to him. And he's sure, he said every Yom Tov, he shouldn't say it, and everybody says it. It's really not correct. Really doesn't make any sense. The minhag always is that on Yom Kippur, when they open up the Aron Kodesh and they recite the Kel Aruch Din B'Yom Din, HaKom Aminim, whatever, all the different piyutim, everybody stands up. So Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that, strictly speaking, you only have to stand up if the Sefer Torah is in the same Rishus where you are. Here the Aron Kodesh usually is 10 tefachim tall, usually is 4. A normal Aron Kodesh has a width of 4 tefachim, 4 by 4. Chevra Kadisha sometimes has a tiny little portable Aron Kodesh that they take to the Beis Ovel that sometimes doesn't have Dalar Adalat. But a normal Aron Kodesh has Dalar Adalat Tvachim, so it's really a room, Bifnei Atzma. It's a Rishus Bifnei Atzma. So strictly speaking, it says in the Taz, it says in Yerideya, that you're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah. So how come the rabbi stands in front of the Aron Kodesh, but it's back to the Aron Kodesh? So the Taz says, because the Sefer Torah is in a different Rishus, it's in a different room, so the whole issue doesn't apply. When the Sefer Torah is in the Rishus, you're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah. But it's in the Aron Kodesh, it's not a problem. So he said, all the people sometimes find it difficult to stand so much, so they should know, Mikared Din, they don't have to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open. Just have to, if they can, they should stand during Shemana Esrei. And then the Gemara says, when do you have to stand? When the Chazan is repeating the Chazaras HaShatz and he gets to the Vidui, in the days of the Gemara, only the Chazan said the Vidui. The Tzibur didn't say along. But the Gemara said, the Tzibur has to stand. That's Medina and Gemara. The Tzibur has to stand when the Chazan gets to the Vidui. And he says, strictly speaking, if it's too difficult, the person can sit when they have the Aron Kodesh open. He said, the meaning that we stand is probably not so much because the Sefer Torah is exposed, but rather because the piyutim are probably considered like Dabash HaBikdush. That's why. Because you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, neither in the form of a bracha nor in the form of a pasuk. So that should be like a Dabash HaBikdush, like saying Baruch Hu, or saying Kadosh or Kedusha, that you need Amida for a Dabash HaBikdush. Minig is that usually on Shabbos Yom Tov, we wear a talis for Shachris and Musaf, and that's it. On Yom Kippur, you put on the talis before Shki on Erev Yom Kippur, you wear the talis to Marv, then you wear the talis all day long. Many have the minig, they only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, they don't wear the kittel on Rosh Hashanah. Other places that minig, they wear the kittel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But many shuls, they only wear on Yom Kippur. So why is this special, sir? Rav Soloveitchik quoted from the Meiri in Masechah Shabbos that on Shabbos and Yom Tov there's an inyan of Kibud V'Yonig. In Chumash there are two mitzvahs, Zachar V'Shamar. Shamar means not to do Malach, and Zachar means to recite Kiddush and to observe Shabbos with the Shabbos Dika atmosphere. And Kibud V'Yonig are based on the Pasuk in Yishai B'Karas of the Shabbos Onig L'Kdosh Hashem B'Chubad. So Onig we don't have on Yom Kippur. We don't eat any food. So we really don't have any onik, so all we have is kibbut. So the Meiri says, because we're missing onik, so we double up, we have more kibbut. So what says kibbut? So kibbut is to have big day Shabbos. You should. Rabbi Yechani used to call his clothing bechabdusa, the Gemara says, because if you wear nice clothing, it dignifies the person. So on Yom Kippur, because there's no onik, so you should have extra kibbut. So you should wear a tavlis all day long, you should wear a kittel all day long, something different. Then it says also, kibbut is kabdu as Hashem ba'urim, is a pasuk in Novi. So the tour quotes that Targum Yonis ben Ezia, by us we don't have it in Targum Yonis, we have a different translation. But Urim really means in the caves. But the Targum Yonis quoted by the tour says, Urim means Bepanasaya, with lanterns. So that's also, it's both Kibud and Oinek, to have the house lit up as both Kibud and Oinek. So on Yom Kippur we usually have more lights than all year long. So that's why everybody lights a Yahrzeit candle on the sun, so the house is supposed to be lit up more so on Yom Kippur than on a regular Shabbos Yom Tov, because you want to double up on the kibbud, because they're not having any onig on Yom Kippur. We mentioned that on Matzoh Yom Kippur there is a minig that we blow shofar, and the Rishonim didn't know exactly what the reason is, so they gave different suggestions. So one of the suggestions was that it's a similar siluk shechina, that the shechina was with us to all Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur the shechina goes back to the seventh heaven, so we blow shofar. They give other reasons. Tosfos in different places gives the three different reasons. Tosfos gives another reason. There's a pasuk in Chumash that every 50th year we're supposed to observe Yovel, and on Yom Kippur of Yovel they used to blow shofar. It's a pasuk in Chumash. And they used to recite Malchus, Sinus, and Shofar, like we recite on Rosh Hashanah to Musaf. We blow Shofar in the middle of Musaf at the conclusion of Malchus, at the conclusion of Zichronis, at the conclusion of Shofar, and in the Chazaras HaShatz. Here they probably blow in Tefillah B'Lachash also. Well, in the Shtiblach, by the Chassidim, they blow on the Tefillah Belachash also. So Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is also the same thing. So we have not been observing Yovel for many centuries already. By Sheni, they did observe Yovel, but probably only Midirabbanon. Most of the Rishonim hold is only Midirabbanon. Rabbi Natan holds that it was Minat Torah. So we haven't been observing Yovel for a long time. So we blow Shofar on it, so Yom Kippur as a Zecher, that someday we'll revert back to the, we'll return back to the old din, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we'll be able to observe the Tekiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So why do you blow every year? That's what they say. It's a zechet to the kiyas of Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Then Tosfos has a third reason why blow shofar on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, because it's a mitzvah to have a bekavadika meal, to have a fleshig meal on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, to demonstrate that we trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gemar din l'tayva. So we want to celebrate. We don't know what the gemar din was. We don't know what's in store in the coming year. We don't know miyichyam miyomas, but we want to celebrate in anticipation of the good year. So we blow shofar to announce that everyone should go home and eat a meal. It's a yontif tonight. We should celebrate by having a bekavadik in here.
It should be after Maariv. Yeah. Blow shofar after Maariv.
Yeah, yeah. Good questions. They're all good questions, yes. The Gemara says the Chazan is supposed to recite the Seidu HaVayda in the days of the Goanim. There were communities that they said the Seidu HaVayda by Shachris and by Mincha also. The davening took forever. Then the Goanim say it's not right. You only say the Seidu HaVayda in Musaf. But the Gemara says the Chazan is supposed to be reciting the Seidu HaVayda. Our practice is everybody says it, and the Chazan says it softly. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's not really right. You should really have the Chazan should say it out loud. He doesn't have to say, the Seder HaVayda is a piyut. It's a poem that begins, Baruch Hashem created the world, and he told Adam and Rishon not to eat, and the Eitz Hadaas is a whole introduction. That's not part of the Seder HaVayda. But once it says that they did Trumas HaDeshen, that's already the Seder HaVayda. So starting from the Trumas HaDeshen, the HaVayda that was done on Yom Kippur, that you should really, the Chazan should say the whole thing out loud. The Chayyadam points out, it's interesting, in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, there are two versions for the Seder HaVayda, Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. So in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Nusach Sfard had more mistakes than the Nusach Ashkenaz. So there's a long Beis Yosef. I don't think there's any Torah on that page. I think there's only Beis Yosef on that page when he has all the corrections for the Seder HaVayda. So the printers were kind enough to correct everything, so they corrected the Nusach Sfard. Nusach Ashkenaz. So now the Nusach Sfard is better than the Nusach Ashkenaz. So Leishik used to say he would really prefer to say the Nusach Sfard because it has more correct. But what can he do? His parents, his father, his grandfather said Nusach Ashkenaz. So he's stuck. He has to say Nusach Ashkenaz. But the Chayyadim points out there are a lot of mistakes in the Nusach Ashkenaz. Mamish, all the korbanos are out of order. So the Chayyadim corrects it. So in the yeshiva, they distribute, on every Yom Kippur, they distribute the printed sheets with the correct version of how he's supposed to recite the Seder HaVayda. So really, Art Scroll should have done the job. I don't think they have it on the bottom of the page, do they? They don't have the Chayyadim's correction to the Seder HaVayda. The minig is a pretty common minig that when the Chazan recites the Seder HaVayda, and he says in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kangonim would pronounce the Shem HaMfarish, everybody who would be a Nazara would be Kareh, Mishtach HaMayda, everybody would kneel. So the minig is that we kneel Zecha LeMikdash. So in a lot of shuls, they distribute paper to put on the floor before you kneel on the floor. So people think you're supposed to put the paper by your knees. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's not to put by your knees, it's supposed to put by your face. The Pasuk says in Chumash, you're not allowed to out the Beis HaMikdash, the floor was stone. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you're permitted, and it's recommended, it's a mitzvah to kneel in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishtach Havoyah, even though the floor is stone. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, if you have a stone floor, it's not permissible. We don't have a stone floor. So the Goyim interpreted the Gemara, Megillah, we're afraid maybe there's a stone floor below this floor. Maybe there's some stones on the bottom. So we're machma not to kneel on the floor. So to avoid that prohibition, so if you put a talus, the fact that you have a wooden floor that's attached to the ground, the fact to have a carpet, if the carpet is attached to the floor, is also not a hepsik. But if you have a rug that's not attached to the floor, if you have a talus, you put the talus in between your face and the floor, so that takes off the yisr. So they used to distribute papers to put in front of your face, not to put in front of your knees. Rabbi Soloveitchik mentioned that before he went to university in Berlin, he never heard that any of the women in Eastern Europe used to kneel on Yom Kippur. The first time he ever heard of this was when he went to Germany. He said, some of the women would kneel on the floor. So he started to wonder, how come they didn't do this in Eastern Europe? He was thinking for a while, so he thought, it says in the Seder HaVayit, only those who were in the Azar, the women were never in the Azar. The Gemara has an expression, Isha Bazar Minayin. The women were always in the Ezras Noshim, which had Kedushas HaRabayis, didn't have Kedushas Azar. So this mitzvah of kneeling on the floor, that we make a zecher to that, that was only in the Azara. Even the men who were not in the Azara wouldn't kneel on the floor. So he thought that, he came from Eastern Europe, so he thought that the meaning in Eastern Europe is more correct, that the women shouldn't make a zecher to kneeling on the floor, because they never did it in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Next Shabbos is going to be Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu, I remember once I was in a shul, I was for Sukkot, I was once in London, a long time ago, and there was a bar mitzvah in shul on Shabbos Hazinu, and the bar mitzvah boy was a kohen, and the father was a kohen, the grandfather was a kohen, so all three wanted aliyah, so he had to make a hoy sofer, so they made a hoy sofer. So the Gemara says, you can't make hoy sofer on Hazinu. Hazinu is a poem, and you have to, when you read a poem in any language, if you stop in the wrong place, you kill the whole meaning of the poem. So the Gemara says, you have to read Hazinu the way the Levim used to read it in the Beis HaMikdash. That used to be the shir, Shalavim HaYomrim, when they brought the Musaf on Shabbos, when they brought the Tamash HaShach, they said, Miz Mishal Yom HaShabbos, Tavol Hodes Hashem. When they did the Nisach HaYayin after the Musaf, so they said Hazinu. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to make any Hasafis, you have to stop. The Rosh HaTeva says, Hazivloch, Hezai Yud Vav Lamed Chav. You have to stop in the right place. In fact, there are different interpretations what that Rosh HaTeva stands for. What is Hazivloch? So the Sfardim have one interpretation, the Ashkenazim, Rashi has a different interpretation what it is. So all the Chumashim that we have were all copying Sansino. They were the first ones who pinned Sansino was Sfardim. So in the Yeshiva, we don't follow the Hafsokas that are printed in the Chumash. We follow Rashi because we're Ashkenazim. We're not the Sfardim, should follow the Sfardim, and Ashkenazim should follow the Ashkenazim. The Mishnah Berurah points out that there are different practices where to stop. And he says, Nara, Nara, Upashte. Every community should follow its minig, whatever the minig is. The Ashkenazim should follow the Ashkenazim, and the Sfardim should follow the Sfardim. You're not supposed to make any Hasafis and Hazin. I remember I used to daven in the Aguda in Washington Heights. There was a little politics in YU, so I didn't daven there. And then after the politics ended, there's always politics, but after that politics ended, so I went back to daven in the Yeshiva. So once on Hazinu, they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So they put away the Sefer Torah, took out another Sefer Torah. So the rabbi wasn't thinking, the rabbi in the Aguda, he was thinking a little bit, wasn't thinking fully. So the Mishnah Berurah has the Chumrah, whenever you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, you put it back, take out a new Sefer Torah. If you can kvetch in seven aliyahs from there to the end of the Sedra, you should do that. So you had to make hoysofis every three psukim, and made another hoysofah, and they squeezed in seven aliyahs in the new Sefer Torah from that point to the end, which was not correct. They're not supposed to make any hoysofis in Hazinu. So then I went back to Dab Mincha in the afternoon in the Aguda. So the rabbi got up before Mincha and he said, I made a mistake this morning. You're not allowed to make hoysofis in Hazinu. In case it comes up again, make sure you don't repeat the mistake. That's how the Gemara, the Tanoim and Amorim did like that. I made a mistake. You're not allowed to make hoysofis in Hazinu.
Could he have read
Hazinu
again at Mincha and then followed it by the next week's Parsha? I mean, like, if you make a mistake or if you don't hear a Parsha correctly, sometimes you read it again.
No,
he didn't do that. No. Made a mistake, okay. The Gemara has, regarding Asiyas HaSukkah, fasting on Yom Kippur. Everybody knows you got to fast on Yom Kippur. Okay. There's a Sefer Yisa V'Heta. Those who learn every day, every page they quote from the Yisa V'Heta from the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. There was a different Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. That was somebody else. The Rabbeinu Yoina who wrote the Yisa V'Heta was an Ashkenazi. He only quotes Rashi and Tosfos. He never quotes any of the Chachmei Svara. So the Yisa V'Heta quotes that there was one Bala Tosfos who was deathly sick before Yom Kippur, and the doctors told him, if you fast for sure you're going to die, and if you eat there's a chance that you may survive. So he decided, ain't sofik motzim de badai, He's Vada, you have to fast on Yom Kippur, and it's only a suffix. If I eat, the doctor says I may survive, so he decides he's going to fast, and lo and behold, he fasted, and then he dropped dead, he died. So the Bali Atesu said he committed suicide. He did wrong. You're not allowed to be machmer. If a person has to eat, he has to eat. Just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people to eat. If to fast, that's a mitzvah to the people. That's why I came a little late tonight. I was going to leave at 7:45, and then someone called on the phone. And he started telling me a whole long story for 20 minutes why he's not well. I said, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. You have to stay home. You can't go to shul. You've got to go to shul. You've got to keep on eating and drinking in the middle of the shul. So he has to stay home and he has to eat all day long. There's no midas chasidus when it comes to chaylus, yesh b'sakana. Even a sfek sveka, b'sakana, you have to eat, and no frumkite over here. Sometimes even often require to eat pachas mikashir. The Gemara says if a person has to do an avera, a person has to eat some non-kosher food to save his life. So you have, let's say, chazer, and you have tevel. So tevel is misa b'dei shamayim. Chazer is only malka. So it's better to eat the chazer than to eat the misa, than to eat the tevel, which is misa b'dei shamayim. So the Gemara has a whole sugya. In the end of Yuma, how do you determine hakala kal tchila, which iser is less than what? So if you eat less than a shear on Yom Kippur, that's also forbidden in Minat Torah, but it's less of an iser than eating a full shear of food. So you should eat pachas, mikashir, eat a little bit now, wait a couple of minutes, and eat a little bit later also. So that pachas, mikashir, people usually skip the Mishnah Berurah. Then the Mishnah Berurah says beferish that doesn't apply if the person already is a chayla sheyesh basakana. The guy already is a chayla sheyesh basakana. That only applies if the person is healthy, and the doctors say if he's going to fast, he may put himself into a sakana. But if he already is a chodesh esh b'sakana, you don't tell him to eat pachas mikashir. Usually the Rabbanim don't distinguish, but Rabbi Soloveitchik made a big fuss about that. That was the tradition in Volozhin. The Netziv writes, when he came to Volozhin, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin had passed away already, but the Nachlas David was still there. The Nachlas David, Rabbi David Tebel, said that was the tradition from Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, and that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. The chodesh esh b'sakana, you don't tell him to eat pachas mikashir. He eats regular. On Yom Kippur, Avraham Soloveitchik printed this up. That's what his father passed, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. But it's not Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. It's from Rav Chaim Volozhin. That was the tradition in Volozhin. Anyway, everybody knows that. But not everybody observes it. When a person has to eat, you got to eat. Rabbi Breuer, they told me, who died at the age of 98, used to make house calls on Aseres Mechuvah. He used to visit the old people in the community. And he used to tell him, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. And just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people to fast, it's a mitzvah, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. You shouldn't observe any Midas Chasidus. If the halacha says you have to eat, you have to eat.
What about a pregnant woman or someone who just gave birth? In which category would she be in?
The Gemara says the pregnant women have to fast on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur because they're only Chodesh She'ein B'Sakana. We don't consider them Chodesh She'ein B'Sakana. Unless a doctor says there's a sakana. Unless a doctor thinks there's a sakana. But usually, if the woman's going to go to shul, she's going to daven all day long on her feet. She's going to make herself a sakana. If she stays home in an air-conditioned room, and she rests in bed a whole day, and she doesn't say piyutim, and she just says the bare minimum, so she won't be a sakana. You don't have to make yourself into a chodesh
misukah. And what if she's nursing, in other words, after giving birth?
The Gemara considers that nursing is not considered, is not even considered a chodesh she'ein b'sakana. A pregnant woman, a nursing woman, is not even considered chodesh she'ein b'sakana on Tisha B'Av. A chodesh she'ein b'sakana is allowed to eat. But on the other Taneisim, Tzom Gedalia and Shavasa B'Tamas, we automatically declare any pregnant nursing woman as a chodesh she'ein b'sakana. On Tisha B'Av, we don't automatically declare, unless she's really not able to function normally. Chodesh she'ein b'sakana means a person can't function normally because of the fast. So let them stay in an air-conditioned room and rest the whole day, so they'll be able to fast. Yeah, with respect to sukkah, it says on Matzah Yom Kippur, everybody should start building the sukkah. If you try to build the sukkah on Matzah Yom Kippur, so usually we apply mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha to fulfilling the actual mitzvah itself. Let's say the father of the baby is a moel; he knows how to do the bris milah. He shouldn't be mechabed another moel. He should do the bris himself. The bedikas chametz, he say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. You should do the bedikas chametz. You shouldn't rely on someone else. Here it's a chiddush, the Netziv has a long essay about this, a chiddush that the construction of the sukkah is only a hachana for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah for the 7 days. Here the construction also, even though it's only a hechsher mitzvah, We treat it in a certain sense as if it were a mitzvah, and we would apply mitzvah bo yesem b'shluchim. Yeah, in the yeshiva, they just put up the sukkah for the students 2 days ago. So they have the nochrim put up the walls of the sukkah. They have a Jewish person put up the schach on top. That's a machlokes in the Mishnah, whether the schach has to be placed l'shmo, l'shem mitzvah. If you need b'shamay or abdipin, the schach has to be placed on l'shem mitzvah. So a non-Jew who doesn't have the mitzvah, alpidin, cannot put on schach l'shmo. We pass on like Basila, the Bidiyevit, it's okay, even if the schach was not put on the Shema. But the Yerushalmi says, L'hatchili, even Basila agreed that you should put it up the Shema. So that's why preferable is that a Jew should put up at least part of the schach. Years ago, I don't know what they do now, years ago in the conservative temples, the practice used to be, they used to have the sukkah on the bima, under the ceiling, in the shul. And the Chazan would say bracha kiddush on the bima and say leisha basukkah, and he would drink the wine in the sukkah. So that's not kosher. If the sukkah is in the shul, if the sukkah is under a roof, that's not a kosher sukkah. Sukkah has to be open. Sometimes you have a sukkah in the backyard, but there's a fire escape on top, or the roof is protruding over. Over the part of the schach, so you can't sit under that part of the schach where you have the roof protruding. The roof is not kosher schach. You have to sit where the schach is open to the sky. And the building I live in, 24 Bennett, building 44 Bennett, they have a big sukkah, always every year the same size. So the sukkah is big enough to hold all the people in the building, and many apartments there. But now, in recent years, many of the people go to the parents or go to their children. So there hardly anybody eats in the sukkah. So sometimes they don't bother to put the schach all over. Also, they just put schach in the middle. So the Mishnah says, but they're going to have five people sitting in the sukkah. So what do they need schach all over for? So the Mishnah says that that's not acceptable. The schach has to be touching the tfanus of the sukkah, has to be touching the walls of the sukkah. The Gemara tells us that the Mikra Din sukkah, if you have two defanis at right angles to each other, and then you can be makel on the third defan, the sukkah would be kosher. But the Mekubalim say that it's not right to rely on that lechatchila. Lechatchila should really have four walls. A normal house, it should be teshuva kein taduru. And you should have noye sukkah, you should beautify the sukkah, because teshuva kein taduru. In your home, you have paintings hanging on the wall, you have photographs hanging on the wall, you beautify your home, so you should beautify the sukkah as well. Noye sukkah is not only the general din of Zekele Me'anvei, it's not the fun of the mitzvah, it's noye mitzvah, it enhances the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, because it's more of a teshu kein taduru. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama quotes a chumre, that you should put up the tfanis first before you put the schach. So when you put the schach, you would just machshe the sukkah. If you're going to put the schach first, so you don't have a kosher sukkah, so you make the schach kosher by putting up the tfanis, so that's a chashash of tasev alamin ha'osim. That's a concern. So there's a big machlokes in Achrayim. The Mogen Avraham quotes the Bach, and he seems to hold like that's only lechatchila, but yeah, but it doesn't pass on. L'chatchila, you should be careful about that. Somehow that it passes even b'di yevit.
Shouldn't you then also beautify the outside of the sukkah if it's teshu came to duru? Then we make the outside of our homes look very nice too.
L'chatchila, you should. We certainly should try to beautify the inside and the outside of the sukkah. That is correct, yes. I remember about the 19, 20 years ago, we have 9 children. So one of my daughters got married in Eretz Yisrael. She went to Eretz Yisrael after high school, and she stayed there. She never came back. And then she went to Hebrew University. So they said, what yeshiva bach is going to marry you? No one marries a girl from Hebrew University. Only someone from Merkos Harab. So she says, I'll marry a boy from Merkos Harab. So that's what happened. She married a boy from Merkos Harab. And then he was in the army. They almost didn't let him go out of the army for his wedding. So then he said he has to take off a whole week because they have Shivas Mamish. The one in charge never heard of that. 7 days. They're not going to let him go. So they had to call up the chief rabbi. He said, yeah, Shivas Mamish, you have to let him off for 7 days. So that daughter got married in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. That's when they were able to get married. So I remember that year, Punkt, it was raining on Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says, if it rains on Sukkot, it sits them in Klola. It means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not interested in our mitzvah. In America, it always rains on Sukkot, so that's not a Simen Klola. It means in Eretz Yisrael, it normally does not rain in the summertime in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, if it rains on Sukkot, then it's a bad Simen. Unless the later Achronim say, unless it was already raining before Sukkot. And then it continues to rain on Sukkot. If it already rained before Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, it means that the summer is over and the rainy season began already, says Nishkan Simen Klom. But if it starts to rain in Sukkot, then it's a Simen Klom. So remember, that Sukkot, there was a storm, and a lot of the schach fell off, like in America happens every so often, the schach would fall off from the Sukkot. So people had Sukkot on their porches in the hotels. So the schach flew off from the sukkah on the lower level, fell on the ground, and the schach from the upper level fell on top of the sukkah on the lower level. So that is literally tasev eloi min ha'osa. That's absolutely possible. So I remember some of the rabbanim said no, because the din in Shulchan Aruch is that there's a machlekes. What if you put the schach up, you have a kosher sukkah, and then you put the shlak on top, you put a cover on top, then you take the cover off when it stops raining. So some Rishonim say that's Tasav Lemon, so you have to pick up the whole Schach again. And we don't pass like that. We pass and since Trilos Anochas HaSchach was kosher, the Sukkah was good, so even though you covered over the Sukkah and you're not Yotze the Mitzvah, when you have the wooden cover or the plastic cover on top, but then when you take it off, it becomes kosher again. So some of the Rabbanim thought, since the Anochas HaSchach on the upper Sukkah, on the third floor, was Be'echsher, and now it fell on the lower Sukkah, which lost its schach because that fell on the ground already. So Tchilas Anocha was Behechsher. I thought it's absolutely incorrect. Tchilas Anocha's Haschach was Behechsher on that Sukkot. And this Sukkot is Tchilas Anocha's Haschach was literally Tasev Elai Menosse. That's Mamish Basel. You have to place, a person has to place the schach. You can get a Nochri to place it. But that's literally Tasev Elai Menosse.
If you have a roof and then you
create
the schach first and then open up the roof later?
They're the machmer. You should have the roof open when you place the schach on top of the sukkah. Yeah. They consider that a violation of Tasa Lebanon. We have a minig when we have a bris. So there's a medrash that says Eliyahu now becomes invisible. It comes to every bris. So we have a kisa shel Eliyahu for Eliyahu Navi. So many of the Mekubalim have a practice that they recite the Ushpizin based on the Zohar. We invite the Ovis to come, we invite different Tzaddikim to come every night in the Sukkah. So they used to have a Kisei Shel Ushpizin. So they would put a cloth, just like in Kisei Shel Eliyahu, it says Kisei Shel Eliyahu. So they would put a cloth on and say, welcome Avraham Avinu, welcome Yitzchak Avinu, whatever. So some enterprising young man just wants to make a few dollars, so he just made a whole bunch of these cloths for the Kisei Shel Ushpizin. He's going to see if it sells. In the Kubbalim they have like this. Yeah. And the first night there's a special mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah. So in the Rishonim there's a machlokes how much bread you have to eat. A lot of people on Shabbos and Yom Tov, especially in America, you just nibble a little bit of bread, then you don't eat any bread at all in the meal. So you have to make sure you nibble a kazayis. Kazayis is not that much bread. But on the first night of Sukkot, is a machlekes, so we pass on the Shulchan Aruch kazayis. But the other Rishonim say you have to eat yosem mikibetza, which is quite a bit more than a little bit of a kazayis. Because the Gemara says if you eat bread less than a kebetza or less, that's achilas aroi, that you can eat chutz l'sukkah. So it's only called achilas keva, that it requires a sukkah if you have yosem kebetza. So some of the achranim say one should be machmer to eat the yosem kebetza the first night to make sure that he's really eats it in
mitzvah.
To eat it till kedei achilas pras, yeah.
You can't just
stretch
it out.
Yeah. In fact, they say you should eat all the challah without being mafzik. You shouldn't have them gefilte fish or some soup in between. So they quote the Magen Avraham Halsa in Hilchos Pesach. You have to eat the kazayis of matzah, tuch de achilas pras. You shouldn't eat anything else in between. If you eat anything else in between, even though you ate both halves, tuch de achilas pras, this ruins the mitzvah. That's a big chiddush. So some say the first night of Sukkot, you should also eat the kezayis or the yaisim, the kebetz or bread, without eating anything else in between. A big chumrah. We have on Sukkot there's a mitzvah to shake the lulav and the estrig, the dalad minim. So the Gemara says you hold them in two different hands. If a person is a righty, he holds the lulav in the right hand and the estrig in the left hand, because the lulav has the hadasim on the rabbis. You have 3/4 in the mitzvah here, and the estrig is 1/4 in the mitzvah. So the right hand is holding on to 3/4 of the mitzvah. What if a person is a lefty? So should he switch or not? So that's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. And there is an opinion that it's ma'akeh b'dieved. The Magen Avraham quotes Rabbi Hananel on the side of the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you reverse the order, then you're not yotzei. So we usually learn, if you hold the lulav upside down, you're not yotzei. Rabbi Hananel learns, if you hold it in the wrong hand, if you hold the lulav in the left hand, the yestrik in the right hand, you're not yotzei b'dieved. So if a person is a lefty, there's a machlekes which way he's supposed to go. So lechatchila he should hold, half of my children are lefties, so they should hold the lulav in the left hand and esrog in the right hand, and after they finish shaking the lulav and esrog, then they should switch hands, do it again, to be machmir for the other opinion, holds that even b'dieved, you're not yotzei if you hold it in the wrong hand. Very often people hold the lulav in the esrog in one hand, they hold the siddur in one hand, the left hand, they hold everything in the right hand. So the Beis Yosef quotes Rishonim that you shouldn't do that. You're supposed to hold them in the estrog in the two different hands. If you have a gigantic estrog, it's very difficult to hold both in the same hand. If you have to hold the siddur to say Hoshaina, it's also going to be a problem. So you have to solve the problem. The more correct is to hold the lulav and the estrog in the two different hands. I remember Rabbi Gerelich told us that when he learned the year of Brisk by Rabbi Avraham Soloveitchik, so the whole community only had one or two estrogim. They didn't have every balabas had an esrog. You couldn't get. Years ago in America, that's what it was. Only one or two people in the shul had a lulav and an esrog. So the Brisker Rav insisted that the chazan by Hoshaina should hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, and one balabas would walk backwards in front of the chazan holding the siddur. So the chazan didn't have the problem. He didn't have three hands, but the balabas would hold the siddur. Today, everybody has a lulav and an esrog, so who's going to walk backwards to hold the siddur? So you got to figure something out. There's a din that in the Gemara has a din that the shedra of the lulav should rise a tefach above the top of the hadasim na'arabas. A lot of times we have arabas that are very tall, and the lulav is not that much taller than the arabas. And even if the lulav is taller, the shedra doesn't protrude a tefach above. The shedra is the fat part before it turns into alim on top. You have to have the thick part. The shedra, the lulav, has to protrude on top. Then they quote. Then in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from Rashi, from the Tshuvas of Rashi, that the hadasim should be slightly higher above the arabas. Usually it's the reverse. Usually the arabas are much taller. So you have to snip off the bottom of the arabas. The hadasim and the arabas only have to be, the biggest chumr is they have to be 12 inches. 12 etzbois, 12 agudlin, 3 tefachim, and each tefach is 4 agudlin, so you need 12. So usually you have arabas that are very tall, so you cut off the bottom part. So the arabas, so make sure you have more than 12 inches, and arrange them in such a way, the hadasim should be slightly higher than the arabas. They give the similar dover to remember, the hadasim look like the eyes and the arabas look like the lips, so normal people have their eyes above the lips, so the hadasim should be above the arabas. That's just to remember, that's not the explanation. And you have to see to it that the shedra of the lulav, that's in the Gemara, the shedra of the lulav should protrude a tefach above the top of the hadasim, which is on top. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rakanti, which is a Kabbalah Sefer, that some tzaddik had a cholam that someone was writing Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav, Kei wrote Yud Kei Vav, and then he wrote the Hey over there, Yud Kei Vav, and he wrote the Hey over there. And then he woke up in the morning, he didn't understand what was the dream all about. What is the guy writing Yud Kei Vav and the Hey over there? So he realized that the day before there was someone in Shul who holding the Lulav and the Esrog far apart from each other. And the four Minim are supposed to represent the four letters of Shem Hashem. So he's supposed to have, supposed to hold the two in two different hands, but near each other. Not supposed to hold them like this. They should be in two different hands, but near each other.
Can you have in order to solve the problem with the Hoshanas, they have these pamphlets now, and can you have, put a clip on the lula, on the igud, and attach the pamphlet to that? Would that be?
Yeah, instead of having a sitter that's bulky and it's hard to hold, you only have two hands, so you have a lighter hishinus, and you clip it onto something, so life will be easier. Yes, you should do
you
like
can
that.
Clip it onto the ikud.
Yeah, yes. It's not a problem. Yeah.
Somebody came out with one that goes over your sleeve, drops it on the ground.
It's also good. Whatever, you got to solve the problem, yeah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot in Hilchos Sukkah from the Sefer Bikuri Yankov. Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger was a prominent rabbi in Germany. He's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. So the first Sefer that he wrote was called Bikuri Yankov. Bikurim, that was the first, Reishis Bikurim. Then he wrote Orach Laner, he wrote Mosar. Then he wrote Tshuvas also, Binyan Tzion. So the first Sefer was on Hilchos Sukkah and Hilchos Dalaminim. So he's the one who has this Chiddush. Mishnah Berurah quotes every page in Hilchos Sukkah. He quotes from the Bikur Yankov. So he's the one who has this interesting practice that they have now in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says that in the Beis HaMikdash there was a mitzvah to shake a lulav and esrog all 7 days of Sukkot. In the Chumash it says all over the world you only shake a lulav and esrog v'kachtachem b'yom harishon on the first day of Yantav. And we have a Sfeikat Yemes on the first 2 days of Yantav. But the rest of Sukkot is only in the Beis HaMikdash you shake a lulav all 7 days. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so the chief rabbi was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So the Gemara says he introduced 9 takanas, he and his bezin, when he was a chief rabbi, they introduced 9 takanas. Several of the takanas were after the Churban Abayis, Secha L'Churban. This is one of the takanas that all over the world they should shake the lulav all 7 days, Secha L'Migdash. We shouldn't forget that such a mitzvah existed, this bunch of Beis HaMikdash Al-Yikai. So the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayis, in the commentary of Mishnayis, writes that this mitzvah in Migdash is not restricted only to the Beis HaMikdash, it applies to the whole Ir HaTika, the whole Ot city. So a lot of times, a person, let's say Chalmoy, a person davens in Yerushalayim, or he davens in Tel Aviv, and he drives to Yerushalayim to visit the Kosla Maravi. So if one should assume, like the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah doesn't write that. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis got it from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi has such an opinion, that there's a mitzvah in HaTorah to shake the lulav all 7 days in the whole Ir HaTika. The question is whether Ir HaTika retained its Kedusha today after the Churban Abayis. So the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah paskins that the Kedushas HaMikdash is Kitchel Lossi Lova, including the Ir HaTika. So the Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger in the Bikuri Yankov puts together the two Rambams. If you hold that Yerushalayim still retains the Kedusha in HaTorah, and you hold there's a mitzvah in HaTorah, so even though you bench Esther Galeri, I already daven in Tel Aviv, I already daven in Meir Shorim, but I walk over on Yontav, I travel over in Chalamay to daven Mincha in the Yer Atikai by the Kosel Marav, you have to shake the lulav again. So we don't say a bracha because we're not so convinced that we paskin like both of these Ramams. Each one is questionable. The Ramam about Kitchel Asilova, the Raiva disagrees, and the Ramam about the Yer Atikai, the Ramam himself backed out from that in the Mishnah Torah. But a lot of people, when you go to the Kosel Maravi, somebody will encourage you to shake lulav again, even if you already shook lulav in the morning. They'll encourage you because of this Orach Laner. That was the Chumrah. Remember, Rabbi Gerelik said when he was learning by Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik, so they were talking about this Chumrah from the Orach Laner. So somebody asked Rabbi Elbala, what about on the first day? Is the mitzvah in HaTorah to shake a lulav in the Ir HaTika the remaining days of Sukkot, the first day there's a mitzvah all over the world to shake a lulav in an esrog. So if I daven in Meir Shorim and then I walk over to the Kosel Maram on the first day of Sukkot, is there a mitzvah to shake a lulav again in the Ir HaTika? He said, Rav Elbala was thinking, he said, it's a good child, he doesn't know. Some of the other Swarm write that it's a machlekes harishon by Biruchim Perla, raises the issue also in his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigan. He thinks it's a machlekes, Ibn Ezra and others. He makes a machleg Sarishan. So Rabbi Gerelik made a comment. We were sitting in Europe in the 1930s. Who would ever dream that we're ever going to be zeichet to see the Kosel Maravi? We'll ever be zeichet to see it. And then everything changed. There's a Kosel Maravi and it's a Shaila Halacha L'maisa. For real? He said, we were talking theoretically, but it really came up. Everything comes up.
What would be the
union
of doing it again on the first day? If it's Minat Torah, you already were
Mekayim. They're two different mitzvahs. The Ramban thinks that you don't need Shalachem. For this mitzvah, Kol Shiva, you don't need Shalachem. That's a mitzvah of Esmachtem. And this is a mitzvah of Lakachtem. So maybe even the first day, there's a mitzvah usmachtem, even if you shook a lulav in Mea Sharim and you walk over to the Kaisel HaMaravi, you should shake a lulav again to fulfill the mitzvah usmachtem lefnei Hashem alakecha. So that was the question. When it says usmachtem, it means the remaining 6 days of the 7 days, it means all 7 days, even the first day. How do you translate the pasuk?
Okay, but you wouldn't make the bracha then. Even if you do it again, you wouldn't make a bracha.
We wouldn't say a bracha, the Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger writes, because each one of the Rambams is questionable, but the Kitchen Losilova is questionable, because the Raida disagrees with their Rambam, and the whole Yerushalmi, the Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah, doesn't quote it. He only quotes this Yerushalmi in the Pirush HaMishnayos. So this is a chumrah that a lot of people have. They'll go to the Kaisel HaMaravi specially in order to shake lulav again. Yeah, on the first night of Sukkot, the Siddur has the Seder, how you say the Kiddush. So it has Shachyona with the end. You say Leisha Basukka, then you say Shachyona at the end. You say Barpe Agav, then you say Shabbachamanim Kalam, Ramana Kalosh, and then you say Leisha Basukka, then you say Shachyona. And then it says in a lot of Sidurim, a lot of Masam, said the second night you reverse the Seder of the last two Brachas. This is based on a Rosh, the end of Sukkot. That on the first night, the Shachyanu serves a double purpose. If you built your own sukkah, if you have your own sukkah, so you got to say Shachyanu. Like if you buy a new house, then you say Shachyanu. You're all excited. If you buy a little toy house, you don't say Shachyanu. But if you buy a sukkah, you put up a sukkah, since you use the sukkah for a mitzvah, so that's considered like a kind of bayis chodesh. So you got to say, if you have your own sukkah, then you guys say Shachyanu over the fact that you have a new sukkah, and you say Shachyanu over the yontif. So since it's a double role, the Shachyanu serves both for the yontif and for the sukkah, so you say the Shachyanu at the end, after Shabbachah Manim Mikolom, Kadosh Yisrael Hazmanim, you talk about the yontif, and you say Leishav HaSukkah, say Shachyanu at the end. The second night, you switch the order, because we already be yotzeh the Shachyanu on the sukkah the first night. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that many of the Achrayim say you should not reverse the order the second night, you should say the same as the first night. Rav Soloveitchik said that was his practice. He said the second night the same as the first night. Yeah, but this whole story, switching the Shachan, the whole story only makes sense if you have your own sukkah. If let's say I have my own sukkah, and the first day I'm going to eat by my children in Baltimore, then I'm going to come back and sit in my own sukkah. That I never said Shachan on the sukkah. I said Shachan on Yom Tov. It's my son's sukkah, it's not my sukkah. So when I come home, I got to say Shachyanu my own sukkah. So a lot of people, let's say you're visiting by someone else the first night of sukkah, in the morning of the first day of sukkah, you're eating your own sukkah. Then you got to say another Shachyanu. You weren't yotze with the Shachyanu last night was only on the yontif. It wasn't on the sukkah because you weren't sitting in your own sukkah. And when you come to your own sukkah, you got to say Shachyanu on the sukkah.
You're making a Shachyanu on the kiyum mitzvah. Of sukkah, not necessarily on the binyan.
Correct. That's three. That is, I have to be corrected. There are three shachyanu. The shachyanu serves a triple purpose: shachyanu on the yontif, shachyanu on the fulfillment of the mitzvah, which I did last night. Shachyanu on a kind of bayis chodosh, because the Gemara says mikra. Then you should say shachyanu when you construct the sukkah. But we save it to leil sukkahs because we're going to enhance the chashivas of the bracha. I'm going to say it over a cup of wine. So if the first night I ate by someone else, and then the next morning I'm going to eat my own sukkah, that I got to say Shachyanu over the sukkah. So you have to ask a shayla, you have to figure out what the Shachyanu is. Nope, you should all be a bench with a gmachsim a teva and a good yard. Amen.
May I ask a couple questions?
Sure.
So the Torah Shabbat Peh, for Yom Kippur, you said that came from this, because we call
a good yard.
So Yom Kippur, we gave us, and gave the second luchos, so that's Torah Shabbat Peh. Where do you say that? You say that's the Torah Shabbat Peh.
So the Midrash and Taisus and Gim, I think that's some good as much. The original plan was that everything was going to be good. But after the Eichel, the Baruch Shalom decided that the Baruch Shalom decided that the Baruch Shalom have Shlita over us. They don't have Shlita. So if everything's going to be Torah Shabbat Shah, they'll be able to claim that they're the Amani. If they have the control of the whole Torah, which they could do. So...